All right, and joining me today is a very special guest. He is the general manager of the Cure Bowl All-Star Game, as well as a member of the Cure Bowl team that helps put on the actual Cure Bowl. It is Mark Line. Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on, Austin.
Oh, of course. So now, yesterday was a very big event, big announcement for you guys, especially, moving the Cure Bowl from Camping World Stadium to Orlando City Stadium. I just kind of wanted to get an idea of how this all came about, where the conversation started. So let's kind of just start from the very beginning. What prompted this move from Camping World to Orlando City Stadium?
Well, it's actually been in the works for a couple of years. It started with a conversation. Wouldn't that be a more ideal setting for the Cure Bowl game, which will attract approximately 20 to 25,000 people in attendance? And when you put those into the larger stadium, like Camping World, it doesn't create quite the excitement or provide the fan experience that we will be able to do at the Orlando Soccer Stadium. So it's a terrific venue for this, because the stadiums are built and designed for the spectator. So they'll be closer to the field, they'll be able to see the game better, and most importantly, can you imagine the kind of noise that's going to be created with bands and drums and players? And it's going to be really a quite exciting event.
So now, you said this started a few years ago, the whole conversations. Was it before the stadium was built that this was kind of in the works?
No. I would say we're probably talking about 18 months to 24 months, more like that. We'd already seen what soccer looked like in their new stadium. We'd already experienced what the overhangs are like and the kind of excitement they create. So Alan Gooch, who's our CEO of the Orlando Sports Foundation, approached them and said, would you consider this? Well, they've been looking for opportunities to fill their venue for other events anyway. So we just started that discussion of a partnership where our fan bases could be interlinked and where it would be beneficial to both parties. And it just came together.
It's not just a one-year plan that this Cure Bowl will be at Orlando City Stadium. Is this a multiple-year thing that you're trying to get working?
Well, if it is as successful as we anticipate, I am sure that it would be renewed. But this is their first year experience for it, so let's work with that first. But there's a very good chance that this would continue and be sustaining into the future.
So it is the eventual goal to at least try and keep it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So now, I'm assuming part of the reason, like you mentioned, was the intimacy of Orlando City Stadium compared to Camping World, the 65,000 compared to the 25,500. Last year's event had about 20,000 in attendance. Is that kind of the biggest draw, you know, and it kind of worked out for both parties where they were looking for something to do in the off season and you were looking for an alternative venue?
I would think that's fair to say, but more importantly, it was an ideal setting for us. And once they were open to the idea, then it was just a matter of developing. How would this work? Could we cross-promote with our fan bases? Because we have a strong fan base, primarily because this is the only bowl in Orlando. In fact, it's the only bowl across the country that really is dedicated to its cause, which is breast cancer research. And so this bowl takes on a whole new feeling for the fan base. And so we've had a great success with that, and we'll continue it. And they like that idea of being associated with that cause as well.
Looking at the optics of this, you know, it is a soccer-specific stadium. It's not necessarily built for American football. What were kind of some of the challenges in trying to figure out how, you know, you're going to fit the sidelines, fit the goalposts up, make sure everything is kind of set up properly?
Well, from my understanding, the field is not an issue. It can be lined for a football field, which is 50 yards wide, but then you need some space on each side for the teams. That's going to be ideal, and it's going to be exactly as it would be on a normal football in a stadium. Football's designed for football. So that's not been the issue. If there is any, and I think they're minor, it would be what happens underneath the stands. Is there room enough for all the players? Because a soccer team and a football team are quite different in size. But all that's being worked out. So I don't think there really are any major complications and many benefits.
Now, just the timing of it as well. You know, the football game is going to be held in December, which is the off season for all the tenants of the actual stadium. I know a lot of Orlando City fans are upset that their beautiful pitch is being used for American football, and it'll get muddied up like the old Citrus Bowl back in the bowl games when they had to switch from actual field to artificial turf. I don't know if you remember that one, the Mud Bowl.
Oh, I was at that game. Yes, yeah. I remember it well. You can also remember that there was a huge downpour. It was an unusually bad rain, and we'd had a series of them. It doesn't mean that the field won't get torn up, but they understand that, and whatever repairs or replacements are necessary, it would be offset by the benefits.
Okay, so I think that probably answers a lot of people's questions, whereas, like, you know, if the field is damaged or distorted in any way, it would be fixed in that way, but
it'll be totally replaced if necessary for the next season.
And you said that would be offset by the benefits of the game itself, I guess.
Well, I can't explain to you because I don't know
right
what the financial arrangements are with respect to that. But I know that's an understanding that we have with the soccer people. They've been outstanding. That whole organization has done a great job for the community and bringing the team here. And they've been terrific to work with. So we're just thrilled to have this partnership in place. And we really do see it as a partnership. It benefits them. It gets more use for their facility, brings more people into the stadium. And as I said, we can actually cross-pollinate our fan bases. So it'll maybe help them to add more people in the stadium for the soccer games, as well as bring some of their fans in for the football game.
Yeah, and you mentioned it earlier, just the cross-promotion as well. You know, Orlando City has already stood by and said, you know, we're going to promote this as an event that we're having at our stadium and try and get as many people in here as possible. So, like you said, it's kind of a cross-pollination, cross-promotion to get as many people into the stadium for a very good cause. How important is that just to have that relationship comparatively to, say, what you had previously?
Well, our relationship with the Camping World Stadium has been excellent. In fact, we couldn't have made this change if it hadn't been for their cooperation, because we were in place to be playing there again this year, but they were willing to release us from that agreement and allowed us to move and make this change. So the city of Orlando, the stadium people, they've all been terrific. And I think we see this as how do we best promote for the community? And so that helped it happen. And I have to give Alan Gooch credit for building those kinds of relationships.
So now a lot of people may not be familiar with the whole Cure Bowl and what it's behind and everything, but it is basically kind of like a weekend. You know, there's a few days that lead up to the actual Cure Bowl. One of your main responsibilities, I guess, is it being in charge of the Cure Bowl All-Star Game, which it won't happen at the actual stadium. It'll happen over at Showalter Field, but that's the high school All-Star Game, right?
That's exactly right. And that game has a long tradition. It's been around over 25 years. It started out as a metro game for all the schools in Orange County, and now has been transformed into a competition between Seminole and Orange County. And so we have up to 40 schools that will have athletes playing in the game. And we are also including all-star band members, cheerleaders, student trainers. So it's been expanded considerably. And so it's ideal for Showalter, which is a high school stadium, but ideal for this kind of a setting. We kick off the week. That's the first event, followed by the teams arriving, and then a number of events that happen out at Universal, as well as a couple of opportunities for the teams to participate in a community project here in town. And then they actually play the game on Saturday. So it's a full week of happening.
Yeah, and it involves the community in a grander sense, not only just involving them in the local festivities, but also because of the cause that it represents, getting a lot of, you know, cancer survivors and people that are working with the cause to kind of raise awareness and raise money as well.
Absolutely. And this year, because it is a Camping World Stadium, we're planning to host the hospitality and all the activities on Church Street, and then use and then move from that location for the march to Cure by having the two bands lead everybody down to the stadium. So it's going to be an all-day event, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
And it's going to be televised nationally as well on CBS Sports.
Yes, it is. The game itself is televised. And there may be some local stations that want to pick up some of these other festivities, but we don't know that yet.
Fair enough. Yeah, and you know, the coverage so far to this point has been good as well, with the announcement most recently just yesterday. So this may test your knowledge just a tad, but I know a lot of folks might be curious about hosting football teams at a soccer stadium. And with the locker rooms and the way that they're set up, how is that going to work? Because the locker rooms for soccer stadiums are not quite meant for 64-man rosters plus coaching staffs plus equipment and all of that.
Well, for the most part, those teams don't necessarily have to dress here. They're close by and they're bused in. So if we just have adequate facilities for them, some additional hooks so that, you know, where they could hang some clothing and all, and some independence underneath the stadium where they can do their halftime planning, it's going to be fine. And, you know, these teams that come here are so thrilled to be playing in a bowl game and to have the opportunity. And with their coaches and all their SID people and the fans that come, they just celebrate. So I don't think there'll be any difficulties with this. I think it's all going to be a positive. And once they get on the stadium and they can hear the roar of the crowd and the excitement that's generated, as you know, if you've gone to a soccer game with the overhangs, that all of the noise stays right in the stadium. So it's going to be really dynamic.
Oh, yeah. And especially with the way that just like you said, the overhangs are set up so it holds in as much noise as possible. And then with the wall, I'm assuming that the seats will be brought down for that to people for actually to sit in and not just standing room only.
Well, we're going to give them the option. You know, there's a lot of people who love to stand for those games. And if they want to come and use that section or at least a portion of it, yeah, I think that'll be fine. And we'll have some ticketing for that. So there's going to be different levels of ticketing so people can find the exact spot they want. And by the way, on Wednesday next week, which is May 8th, we're inviting all the members of the Cure Bowl and the citizens of the community to come on down and see the stadium, select their seats if they want to, because many of them are as membership, they have seats for the game. It'll be a chance for everybody to see what football looks like in the stadium, and that's going to be next week on Wednesday, May 8th.
I'm just reading that in the press release here, from 5 to 7 at Orlando City Stadium.
Yeah. So
that's
I hope
cool.
You can come yourself, Austin.
Actually, I'm going to be in Chicago, so I won't be able to attend, but I'm sure a lot of people that are listening may want a free trip into Orlando City Stadium for sure.
Sure. It's a long commute, but you can be there in spirit anyway.
I usually am, to be fair.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think that's just about every question that I had. Mark, thank you very much for joining me. And is there any parting thoughts that you'd like to leave us with?
Well, anytime. We're always happy to talk about the cure for breast cancer as well as the game. You know, it's a year-round production for us because we have five other events that would take place throughout the year that are all sponsored for and the purpose of raising money for breast cancer research. We're at the 3.6 level right now, $3.6 million, that is, with over $1 million of that staying right here in Central Florida with Annette Khalid, who's the doctor who has been doing breast cancer research for the UCF Medical Center. So those are things we're proud of, and I think the community is as well. Again, thanks, Austin, for having me on. Is there anything else I can help you with?
No, I think you've covered just about everything. That is Mark Line, the GM of the Cure Bowl All-Star Game and a member of the Cure Bowl team. Mark, thank you very much.
You're sure welcome.